Good morning. Today is Friday, October the 14th. Joining us this morning out of Humboldt Bay Fire is Deputy. See, I got it right. Deputy Chief Bill Reynolds. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Yeah, anywhere other than outside in the rain, huh?
Oh, absolutely. It's been pretty sporty out there.
Fair enough. Sporty, huh? Okay. Oh, let's see if we can find a quote here. Boy, you know, these are starting to really get kind of strange here. Okay, we'll get one from Melville. Quote, that would be Herman, not one of his brothers. We cannot live only for ourselves. Okay.
Okay.
We live for the fish, too. Oh, my. So the weather kind of knocked the plans of the open house out of the picture for tomorrow, huh?
Yeah, it's a couple-fold thing. It was not a decision we took lightly to postpone the open house, and it's important to mention for the folks out there that we're postponing it. We're going to do it in 2 weeks when hopefully the weather's a little better, but given the weather reports we have coming in tomorrow with the rain and the wind, one, we want to make sure our citizens are safe and not out traveling around and having to deal with driving in that weather and whatnot. But also, we want to make sure that when we do our open house, they can come in and they can get a real good, clear picture and enjoy the experience of meeting their firefighters and seeing what we do.
You mean instead of avoiding raindrops?
Absolutely.
And picking up the mobile things that are flying across the parking lot?
Absolutely. Yeah, when we open our apparatus bay doors down at Station 1, it becomes a wind tunnel. And for the people in there doing displays, that would be rather interesting.
Here's how we deal with changing situations.
Absolutely.
Oh, gee. So it's just, you're just dropping it down to Halloween weekend then?
Yeah, exactly. Next week, the next Saturday, we have the Firefighters Union is doing their Bark in the Park event where they have the 5K run at Sequoia Park, and we support that as well. So we wanted to make sure that we weren't double booking and taking customers from each other.
Well, and if nothing else, it gives you guys a chance to buy some candy and have it around the fire station for a while.
Absolutely, and it gives us a good chance to get some Halloween safety tips out there as well.
Yeah, a little bit different timing, but it might actually be even more beneficial.
Absolutely. We try to do it, you know, during National Fire Prevention Week, which was last week, and then culminating on Fire Prevention Day, which would be October 15th. But pushing it back a little bit isn't necessarily a bad thing because, again, like we said, the Halloween message is out there as well, and there's always safety concerns with that too.
When you guys think about Halloween and you're kind of driving around, because I know you kind of cruise on certain days like 4th of July,
right,
and a couple of the others, will you talk to folks if, like, let's say they little ones, but they don't have enough flashlights or there's not the reflective stuff? Will you guys just kind of stop and talk to them a little bit, or do you have, you know, like the goofy tape that would reflective tape that might help them out?
We do stop and talk to them. We don't necessarily carry the reflective tape and stuff like that, but we'll try to talk to mom and dad and make sure that, you know, they understand, you know, that if the kids are wearing dark costumes, you know, flashlights are a much better idea. And again, I understand some costumes, you know, black is the color. If you're Darth Vader, you're not necessarily going to be wearing lime green. But in the same token, being very cognizant of traffic and people out there traveling around.
No, that's after being slimed. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill Reynolds from the Humboldt Bay Fire Department. Bill, the weather challenges that we've got here are a little bit more, I guess, predictable might be the word. When you see forecasts and you hear about some of the stuff that's coming up, how do you marshal the troops? How do you anticipate, or is there any change in the day-to-day operations, except you guys are running around with rain jackets on instead.
Well, the fire service is known for being hyper planners. We get a lot of information from the weather service saying, you know, the doom and gloom, here comes the big storm. So the first step is communication with the troops, letting them know that, you know, if you're working this weekend, you know, there's probably going to be some weather-related calls, whether it be trees down over the roadway, power lines down. In some of our areas around the fire department's jurisdiction, we have flooding issues. So just making sure that the troops know that it's upcoming and, excuse me, to be able to, plan accordingly. It also is an important message for our guys as we're driving fire engines and fire trucks around the area to drive according to the conditions and make sure that we don't become a part of the problem.
I'm kind of giggling a little bit, but I can't think of anything other than a fire truck or a cement truck that would weigh more. So, you know, we hear from folks, don't drive through running water.
Right.
Well, you guys gotta.
Absolutely.
But you got so much tonnage running with you. Do you still have concerns sometimes, even driving the full rigs that, yeah?
We do. And, all of our drivers are trained very well. They are able to adjust their speed and understand that, you know, while getting to the emergency as quickly as possible is the most important thing, the other important aspect is getting there at all. And if we have to reduce our speed a little bit in order to get there safely, then that's what they're going to do. And also driving defensively, recognizing that while our drivers are very well trained, we have a varying level of skill of other drivers out there, and making sure that we don't become a victim to that as well.
So when the troops are responding, and they're rolling, they just go a little bit slower the whole way, or at the intersections they're paying more attention? How does that play out?
Depending on, they drive according to the conditions, and if it's a torrential downpour, they're going to reduce their speed quite a bit because of visibility issues and whatnot. But it's during the whole response, not just intersections. Intersections are obviously one of the most hazardous areas there, especially if we're going against the light, going through a red light to go through. But it's the entire response, because you never know when something unpredictable is going to happen.
Really? You don't know when the unpredictable is going to...
Yeah.
It kind of makes it predictable then, doesn't it? Okay. Do you get more medical aids or requests during this time, during storms and things of that nature than you do otherwise, or does that fluctuate at all?
We see our traffic collisions go up a little bit. The run-of-the-mill medical aids stay relatively consistent. Well, like I mentioned before, what we really see a lot of are everything from, trees down across the roadway to, power lines down. And a lot of times we get out and people see a line down. They don't realize it's the difference between a phone line and a power line. And sometimes it's just as simple as getting out there and moving a phone line out of the road and coiling it up next to the pole. Sometimes we're sealing off an area because there's a power line down and waiting for PG&E to get there.
Yeah, you're watching the asphalt melt.
It can be exciting sometimes.
Had one of those growing up, and it was down, and the sparks, and yeah, literally the asphalt was melting underneath this thing.
Right, yeah.
Well, seared in my mind. You don't screw with any wires that are down.
Yeah.
You just don't know.
I've been doing this job for 23 years, and there's a lot of things that scare you in this job, but electricity is one of the biggest ones. That's something I don't like to mess around with.
So you guys are pretty much will cordon it off. You're not going to try to get involved.
Right. Absolutely. And we wait for the subject matter experts in PG&E to get out there. And sometimes, especially during storm season, sometimes they're there pretty quick. Sometimes they're inundated. We might be sitting there for quite a while waiting for them to get there.
That's right. I was flashing to the cops have got their volunteers. You guys have got a couple. I know they're trying to bring it back. Will you have one of your rigs sit there, or will you try to get volunteers, drop cones, and just kind of hang out and wait for folks, and you move on to the next thing?
Until we can get somebody there, we'll have a rig sit there. But we do have, like you said, we're bringing our volunteer program back. But there's a program within our volunteers for some of our older gentlemen who aren't firefighters anymore. We call them our fire ground support volunteers. They're the gentlemen.
Oh, instead of the old codger crew.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or brigade if you want to go to the fire. Okay. Yeah.
But they'll come out and not just on weather-related calls, but on if we have a structure fire, for example, they come out and they'll do traffic control for us. They'll come out and they'll do crowd control for us. And so in a situation like this, once we are able to get them to the scene, they can come out and they can stand by and hold the scene and keep people safe until the PG&E crew gets there, freeing up the fire crew to be able to go and run emergency calls.
Yeah, I would think that would be very frustrating if you had to have your guys tied up. Or will you solicit the neighborhood? say, here's the cones, guys. We got a fire going, or we have to run. Can you just stand out here? We'll let everybody know that you're just standing here and that you're not one of us, but that's what you're helping us out.
Typically, we'll make contact with people and let them know to stay inside, but we don't like to solicit or deputize them to do anything like that, just because I don't know a person's, you know, history. I don't know what their level of training is, and maybe they say they're going to stand by there and help us out, but then they go, oh, no, I've got to get to work. I didn't even think about that. And then they run off to work and they leave it. So we'll stay there until we have somebody that we know and trust to hold on to the scene and keep it safe.
More of the level of commitment concept.
Absolutely. It's our job. That's what we're there to do. So
now, do you guys, I know the big trucks run with chainsaws. Do the little ones also?
Typically, no. But we have in the past, when we've had major weather events, and we've had to call personnel back in more major weather events, we'll equip them. We'll put with our utility pickups and such, we'll put an extra chainsaw in there, giving them that capability.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Bill Reynolds.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Deputy Chief from Humboldt Bay Fire, Bill Reynolds. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Bill, situations, what is it? Nothing's as constant as change. Okay. Sure. Or predictable as change or as change. You guys have kind of gone through a pretty significant metamorphosis. If we take a 3-month horizon, 6-month horizon, 5-year horizon, any of the typical demarcations of time reference, a fair amount of change has gone on. How has the reorganization affected how the departments react or reaction is now versus what it was, say, this time last year?
That's a really good question. When we went that started going down the consolidation road between Humboldt Fire District Number 1 and Eureka City Fire Department, we had a consolidation study done by a firm outside the area that basically part of that process was to look at what the absolute best model was for Humboldt Bay Fire. Going forward, part of that was reduction in administrative staff, which we've done. With the retirement of Chief Ken Woods back in April, when Chief Gillespie became the fire chief, we eliminated an assistant chief position that used to be occupied by Assistant Chief Rusty Goodlive. And we also eliminated a battalion chief position that was actually my position, but when I promoted to the deputy chief position, we eliminated that position as well. We've also eliminated one of our office staff positions. And what we've been trying to do with this is become more efficient, but it's actually a leaner staffing model. But that was what was suggested by CityGate, is not only more efficient and more lean, but also more fiscally conservative.
Job doesn't change, though.
It does not.
So you got one less senior guy, one less middle guy, and one less at the white end of the funnel gal.
True enough.
Okay. One side could say congratulations, and the other might say, do you have enough flexibility now with your staff to be able to handle weather storms like we have or different situations? Have you gotten too small?
Really good question. And it's caused us to utilize our personnel differently. Obviously, that work has to be absorbed somewhere. So in the sense of emergency response, we're actually fortunate that several of our fire captains who normally work on the rig, they normally work on the ladder truck or the engine, they're qualified as duty officers. So on if they are able to, if they go through the training program and get their task book signed off, they can actually fill in the duty officer role. So if we're, say, committed on a large fire or a large incident, they can come in off duty and they can fill in and basically take command of fires and do a lot of the stuff that our battalion chiefs and such do. It's not their primary duty, but it's something that they've been trained to do. So that's one way we've been able to absorb it.
And it's similar enough functions that it's not foreign territory?
True enough. And that's exactly it. And, you know, the day-to-day things that our battalion chiefs do as far as helping run the department with staffing and the other critical functions they do, they have training in that, but they don't do it every day. But we're able to use them as fill-ins to be able to help out with that load.
And vacations.
And that happens too.
Wherever you may happen to go for your vacation.
Yeah, a really good example for that is during the fire that we sent the strike team to this summer, the Soberanis incident down in Monterey, two of our shift battalion chiefs went as strike team leaders. We had several vacations. So at one point, the only remaining duty officers were myself, Chief Gillespie, and one of our fire captains. And the three of us divided up the command duty to be able to make things happen, so there was no drop in service to the community.
I suppose on a short term, you can flex around and do that kind of stuff. And it sounds like long term with the new structure, it's okay.
Right.
You know, you haven't dropped. So I guess then the redneck in me then says, well, why wasn't this done years ago?
Good question. This is, you know, it's something that's new to us, and it's a good system, it's not a great system. You know, in a perfect world, we would have, you know, enough chief officers to be able to cover the command duty, for example, like that. But with trying to be more efficient and more lean, and trying to be responsible to the public that pays the bills, this is something that we're trying out to make sure that, you know, that we can get through. It's not optimal, because, like I said, during the summer when we were reduced staffing for the duty officers, there were a couple times where I was committed to the radio and not able to do things with my family for a week at a time.
In a scenario like that, knowing you've got financial pressures, but also knowing you're going to have guys leaving seasonally, which do you staff for? Do you staff for the flexibility for the seasonal because of all the MOUs and various agreements that there are? Because we've had it each of the last 15 years, probably. Or do you say, okay, let's have a little bit of fluff during certain times, but then we really won't be super strapped and killing our guys during these periods when there are fires and your guys are gone for a couple weeks at a time?
We staff basically on a day-to-day basis based on what our community's needs are. The wild card is when we get those incidents, we have to balance sending crews out with not running our crews into the ground, but also making sure that coverage at home is in place. That's imperative to us.
So that is part of the agreement. If you get a call and I need three, you don't just send three, you look and double check and make sure, hey, I can only send you two.
Absolutely. And we had that happened several times this summer where we had an engine out doing station coverage for Cal Fire. They called and said, hey, we need help, we need more, when we've had to say no. And we also had a couple circumstances where we didn't have any units out, but due to the current staffing at home, we weren't going to compromise the staffing at home at our home stations in order to send it out and help the state. So
number one is still top priority.
Absolutely. You know, these are the people that we're paid to protect, and we're going to make sure that's our number one priority all day.
KINS News and Information Times 842. We'll be back with more from Bill Reynolds.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill Reynolds. Bill, some of the different challenges under reorganization, under just being a government type, you get folks who know what they're talking about, and then you get folks that just look at the budget and go, gee.
True.
Are we getting a better understanding of what public safety is, some of the pressures that there are with the reorganization? Because I would think everybody's looking at that going, job done well.
Right. The biggest thing is you know, with consolidation, we have become more efficient. We've been able to reduce our administrative staff with also factors like increasing our ISO rating as a department, showing that that's the rating scale out there that shows, you know, how good the fire department is. And so we've seen a lot of that, but we do see other challenges in respect of there's still the amount of work that we've always done, even as two separate departments. Now we have a reduced administrative staff, that workload is still there. So we're having to look at more creative ways of trying to deal with that workload.
With the consolidation and the restructuring, does that give you more money for your toys? So you can bring in the technical stuff, you can get more current things so you're able to do your job better?
Short answer is no. We're still bringing the budgets from the parent agencies into the fire department. So we've not seen a large increase in the amount of money we have available to us. But what we've been able to do is look globally within our jurisdiction as to when we buy equipment, we want to buy equipment and whether it's a fire engine that has a smaller wheelbase to get into some of the more tight areas of our district versus the pavement queens that we've seen in the past that are very large and don't necessarily fit very well in these areas. So we've been able to, you know, put our heads, collective heads together and basically try to buy more efficiently and make sure that we're meeting the needs of the community with what we're spending the money on.
So there are some savings that are going on in addition to this to help balance out.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a larger department now, you know, the fire district used to be a small two-station department versus the city, which was a small three-station department. We're now was considered a mid-sized department with a little more purchasing power. And
yeah, really, five stations gives you that big boy status?
A little bit. You know,
oh, that's interesting.
And it helps with the purchasing power. And we, you know, sometimes we're able to get you know, the vendors to sharpen their pencil a little bit and help us out with a little bit of help on the price tag of the equipment we're buying, because unfortunately the fire department, being very blunt, is not a cheap operation. We have to meet certain standards and keep our safety up and be able to do our job at someone's worst moment.
Well, and maybe you get things that fit inside the fire station instead of those that get stuck.
That's pretty important.
Well, do you see this as the standard model now for the next couple of years, or is there going to be more efforts?
Right now, it's where we're going to be for the next couple of years, but we're always looking to be progressive and look at new ideas, because just because Humboldt Bay Fire has done it this way for the past X amount of years doesn't mean it's the best way.
See everybody on Monday.